Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today on Gold Radio Cafe. It's Friday, September 21st, 2012, and welcome to the Gold and Silver Financial Review. My name is Bosco Kacharvich, and this program is brought to you by Central Metals. We understand the problem, and we have the answer: gold and silver-related investments. We're located here in Windsor, Ontario, Canada, and our website is centralmetalscorp.com. Our phone number is 519-915-7542. Our email address is mail@centralmetalscorp.com. If anyone has any questions for the program, just direct them to that address, and we'll see what we can do. We're going to head out west to Canada now and bring back Jeff Dunphy from Calgary. Welcome to the program.
Good. So how are you?
Good. How are you, Jeff?
Well, I think we've got a full slate of things to address, and certainly some conversations that we've had previously with some listeners who've chatted about what has transpired. There's some interesting stuff. I'm just looking at the 30-day chart here on gold. Bosco, we've gone up by more than $100 in the last 30 days, haven't we?
Yep. It's right now I got a spot price, $1,776.13 for gold, and for silver I got a spot price, $34.62. So, we've seen quite a rally now. I don't know, Jeff, based on last week's Fed decision, this rally might continue, aside from maybe a small little dips here and there, but what do you think?
Well, I think we have two sides of the pond. We have Ben Bernanke saying that they're going to keep quantitative easing going, which I think, as you and I both know, Bosco, not only does he have to, the quantitative easing happens in perpetuity anyway. So this is Jim Sinclair. I mean, there are a few people who are in the know who don't agree that they have no other alternative. This is the only manner in which they can support this nonsense that's going on. You also have Mario Draghi, who is a Goldman Sachs boy over in the European Central Bank, saying we will do whatever we need to do to defend the dollar. Now, that being said, there was some concern by some of the listeners that we had what would happen if the German Supreme Court suggested, the German Supreme Court suggested that they wouldn't support the quantitative easing and they wouldn't be part of it. That lends itself to, our answer last week, which is consistent with how they responded, was they can't help but support it, even though they will suggest that they are reticent to do so. And we also have George Soros talking about Germany and how it either leaves or gets out of the euro, which I'm sure gives quite diligent consternation to all the powers that be inside the ECB, merely because this is a very wise man. He knows what he speaks of, and he himself is probably stockpiling as much gold as he can. Perhaps, Bosco, this $100 rise in gold is the beginning of a surge that most of us in the know think is going to happen. Certainly silver has gone up by a bunch as well. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think, what's been happening, especially over the summer, and with the manipulation that is clearly going on, what's happening, I believe that it's like holding a spring down. It's coiling up, and, the more and more they manipulate it and try and knock it down, it builds a stronger and stronger foundation. So did we now spring off this, foundation that we've been creating over the, 3 months of summer, and this is just a foundation for much, much higher prices? I believe that's possible. I don't really think that we're going to see prices below what the summer low was in the high 1580s or somewhere around there. I don't think we're going to see those prices for maybe not ever, but it's going to be a long time for sure. you know, the quantitative easing, which we discussed, it's, Bernanke said, $40 billion a month they're going to be just for the to buy mortgage backed securities. I mean, that's, I mean, right there he said quantitative easing to infinity, as Jim Sinclair predicted or talks about all the time. You know, Bernanke said it, you know, there's no limit. And but Jeff, you know what I'm surprised is that, you know, the German court, how they decided to go with the program when, you know, they recently, I mean, okay, it's not that long ago, but in the 1920s, you know, they experienced hyperinflation. And I'm sure there's still people that remember that quite well in Germany. And I'm surprised that they're, I mean, that they're standing for it. Is there any demonstrations or protests in Germany, you know, happening regarding this decision?
I'm not sure, but I think, you know, as we've suggested in past shows, Bosco, I think there is little they can do but to do this, merely because if Germany decided not to have quantitative easings, it would bring about the demise of all kinds of things. It is a house of cards at the best of times. And consequently, the history or the hangover from the Weimar Republic, when there was just massive devaluation of the currency, it is and has its merit in our opinion. But the capacity of policymakers to act contrary to that is completely hampered by the fact that they have a gun held to their head by the global monetary system. And because it is so precarious, you know, as we said last week, there's nothing they can do about it. Now, the challenge in all of this is that we're now seeing governments run monetary systems without the support of the people. We're now seeing governments run monetary systems without options. They only have one option to do, and that's printing to infinity. We're also seeing the banks are the ones who define how the governments respond, because, as they have done, I mean, the whole banking cartel has been doing this for 100 years. Yeah. It renders us a bit shaking our heads about, it's not a function of when this calamity presents itself, but, or if it presents itself, yeah, it's a function of when. And yeah, now when we start to see gold rise again, ladies and gentlemen, while we genuinely believe owning gold and owning silver is very valid in terms of your financial security, it is also a form of insurance. There's no party risk, and it's a form of insurance for the massive devaluation of the currencies that we all see being inevitable. And you know, I want to touch a little, Bosco, but first let's chat a little with you about your position and your predisposition about what I've just said.
Well, no, I agree, and you know, we're in one of those situations where it's a one-way street. You know, they can't go back now. I think maybe they had an opportunity to go back in maybe 2006, 2007, before the mortgage crisis really hit. But as soon as, you know, after the collapse, their decision, or in 2008, after the collapse, you know, their decision to start bailing out these failed companies and so on, you know, that's, you can't go back after you start that process, and now the entire banking system is being, I guess, held a ransom by the government, or vice versa.
No, it's the other way around. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, they have to create more money. But Jeff, the thing is, okay, we have the two schools of thought. If they didn't do it, or if they go back now, it would completely destroy the banking system, okay? And nobody wants that, because the collateral damage of that is just enormous. It would just crush every other industry and so on. And nobody wants that. But now they're thinking, okay, well, we're going to print money and support the system. It's fiat money, it doesn't represent anything, but at least the wheels are going to be turning, and, you know, we're going to avoid a collapse. But eventually the collapse has to happen, and history proves it time and time again. So I guess they're just postponing it, but it's hard to say because we're in a global system now, and this is the first time ever that we had a one country fiat currency being used as the world's reserve currency. So is it possible that maybe this time is going to be different? I don't know. Is it possible that they're going to create a unique gold-backed currency that's going to be used for international trade or somehow? I think eventually, and we've seen the evidence of it in central banking discussions, the FDIC, the BIS, and so on, this year, we're discussing about having gold as collateral for loans. We've had one of the central bankers from the European Central Bank said he mentioned earlier this year about returning to a gold standard. I think that eventually all the arrows are pointing towards reintroducing gold into the currency system in some form or another. And it's hard to think otherwise. I really don't see any other way. They're going to have to adjust and readjust all the global currencies. It's going to be painful for some, but there's no way of going back now.
Let's evaluate some interesting things that have recently come to light, Bosco, that also may have a dramatic upward effect on gold. Currently, it's come to light that there is a massive several billion dollar class action suit going on right now in Zurich, in Switzerland. And one of the class action spoken about or made public, and the expose of same will start to make people go, good grief, what in fact is done. And just as we've seen the MF Globals, and we've seen the Sentinels, and we've seen the Peregrine Fund get caught up in the hypothecation or rehypothecation of stuff. So to remind the listeners, MF Global started to steal from their own clients' segregated funds, which is absolutely a violation of the law, and yet they seem to get away from it. Now, what's transpired in the gold market in Switzerland in this class action lawsuit is that they would have allocated gold funds. So, for example, Bosco, you and I, we each have allocated gold funds, and we get a picture of these bars of gold and their serial number, and we know that it's allocated in storage room number 5, and that is an allocation. So Bosco has number 1, 2, 3 gold bar, and Jeff has number 5, 6, 8 gold bar, and away we go. Now, one of the things that this class action lawsuit stipulates is that the pictures of those bars don't necessarily mean that gold is there, even though that's what they're representing. So, in fact, they're lying. Now, the other thing that comes to light in the last little bit, all the big banks, the Morgan Stanleys, the J.P. Morgans, the UBS, the Deutsche Bank, the various big banks, one of the things that keeps them all going, their lifeblood, is the very short-term money markets. Now, the short-term money markets means in over one day or 2 days or a weekend, as we'll play, is they call up and they say, you know, I need $1 billion tonight until tomorrow morning, or I need $1 billion over the weekend. And everybody plays in this and has forever. This is how the banking system, this is the liquidity that the banking system uses. It's their lifeblood. Now, one of the things that happens now, and one of the things that happens in terms of granting them this quick money, is that the people who are granting them this money are going, now, my goodness, what happens if it's, as we know, it's all getting riskier and riskier, what should we have it backstopped with? It has come to light that a lot of these people are now writing into the contracts that should these money markets, should the creditworthiness of these banks start to fall, should they get short on liquidity, which is what happened to Lehman Brothers, right? Remember that, Bosco? Lehman Brothers literally went up the stump overnight, And then they all got back together, and then that's when the Fed said, open up banks, we're going to start to give you piles and piles of money. $3 trillion worth of money. There was one outstanding. There's now $3 trillion worth of money outstanding over the last 3 or 4 years. So now let's get back to the short-term money markets and interest rate swaps, which is a bit precarious in terms of their capacity to destroy things. Now, Bosco, you want money overnight, and I'm saying, well, I don't want you to pay me back with cash, and I don't want you to fulfill your margin call with cash. Maybe what we need to do is we need to have you fulfill your market call, margin call, with gold.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe the banks have been asked that they need to backstop their margin call with gold, and so here's what's potentially happening. We might be at the front of this expose. These banks have said they've gone into their vaults and they've gone and gone Bosco's gold and Jeff's gold, and they've said, okay, we'll give you this gold. Now, we're not talking a few ingots, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking tens of thousands of tons.
Mm-hmm.
And to the short-term money providers, which the Chinese are one of the biggest short-term money providers, they have pledged other people's gold. This is the same thing as the rehypothecation of the stock market industry and how it is very precariously done. So consequently, there is word out there saying that 20, 40, 60,000 metric tons has been removed from the big banks because the powers that be know that these banks are done. I mean, you can't, they are illiquid at the best of times, and having the Fed throw money at them at 0% interest rates merely to keep them afloat is, again, flapping your wings as you're plummeting to the ground. These people are all starting to jump ship. Everybody starts to get that it is a sinking ship, and dancing around is like rearranging the chairs. It's absolutely maniacally silly to be doing this. So we are now in this place where the U.S. government is flapping its wings by printing more money. The Chinese are saying, this is risky. We want gold. And the banks are stealing the gold from Boscos and the Jeffs of the world and giving it to the Chinese. Now, that the logical conclusion to that is there may be a point in time where we have a currency that is backed by gold. Guess what? Probably won't be the U.S. dollar. I don't know. Color me curious. If the Chinese own a whole bunch of gold, it might very well be the yuan. Now, that being said, who knows, right, Bosco? We've been wrong before, I'm sure, but we're also talking tens of thousands of tons of gold having disappeared, and people are having massive class action lawsuits saying, I don't believe you have my gold, ladies and gentlemen. So now we get ourselves into a pickle, Bosco, that I don't know how you dig yourself out of this one, but for the implosion of a system that no longer works. Perhaps it's a law of cycles, and it has to come down in order for it to be replaced by something of a different order.
Yeah, this is we're facing now, I think, major economic changes, and people got to wake up. And I was reading an article this week. It was last week by Bloomberg. Big banks hide risk, transforming collateral for traders, and it discusses pretty much what you just talked about. So, folks, basically, what's happening is these paper gold certificates, ETFs, and so on, claim that you have physical gold in a vault somewhere. What happens is the bank, and I think HSBC is one of the banks that is being investigated regarding this right now, because they run the biggest gold ETF, the GLD. What's happening is the bank, and you've seen a lot of the actions over the past few months by these banks and exchange currency exchange houses and so on, like the CME and the LCH, the London Clearing Holding Company, or I might have that name wrong, but they've all said that they will accept gold as collateral for loans. So what does that mean? That means that HSBC is going to give out your physical gold on a collateral for loan to pay off the Chinese or whoever, or to send their gold to China, or send your gold to China, and you know, the ETF is just going to pay you in cash. The problem is, folks, that if we have a system breakdown or a currency event or a devaluation, this is something that's going to happen as they did before. It's going to happen overnight. For example, in 1971, Richard Nixon announced on a Sunday night that the U.S. dollar was no longer backed by gold at all, okay? And so this isn't something that we're going to get much warning ahead of time. When it happens, your paper gold is pretty much going to be returned to you in paper dollars that are devalued significantly. This is the risk of holding gold outside of your personal possession. Okay. Now, one of the things which a lot of, there's been a lot of discussions about allocated gold, unallocated gold, and so on. When you hold gold certificates at a bank or something, that's, in most cases, it's completely unallocated. They're holding a certificate for you, and the way they back that certificate is they just purchase a futures contract on the market. So there's no physical gold actually in possession. The allocated gold accounts, again, allocated is it's kind of there's a lot of meaning behind it. They can say they allocated gold for you, but you own a piece of a 400-ounce bar that's sitting in a vault with a serial number on it. There might be four or five other people that own that piece of gold. And another thing, in many of their prospectuses, you have to be careful of reading the prospectuses of these allocated gold accounts. Many of them do not insure their gold. Okay, so your gold, if it's locked, damaged, or stolen, is not insured. Okay, so you have to be very careful and read the prospectus, because what they essentially could do, according to the now new laws that they're passing, is they can hypothecate your gold, your physical gold, and as Jeff explained, send it out to China, okay? And the Chinese, what are they going to do? They're going to melt it down and create Chinese gold coins or whatever they do with their gold and sell it to their citizens. So you're never going to get your gold back. One of the services that we offer here is a completely fully allocated and segregated gold account, where when you purchase your gold from us, it goes into a sealed container and it's fully insured in a vault. And one of the things that we offer that we've seen very few other gold vaults offer is you can personally go visit your gold anytime you want. Okay? So other than that, the best solution is take it home with you, put it in a vault, hide it, make sure you tell somebody about it, your wife or your whoever's going to be managing your estate in case something happens to you. But you have to be very careful because there's a lot of gold paper assets that people believe that it's physical gold and it's actually not. And I think this, Jeff, what you just explained is kind of the inside information stuff that, you know, we back into that is going on in the markets now with all these institutions accepting physical gold as collateral for a loan. Now, as we mentioned before on this site or on this program, you know, when you give up your gold for collateral, okay, to a bank, you know, it's not necessarily that bank is not going to be able to take advantage of that gold and loan it out and charge interest and so on. So you have to be very careful with what you do with your physical gold. So I'm glad you brought that up, Jeff. I think people need to wake up to what it really means to buy gold.
Well, and also one of the things, Bosco, is that many of the financial institutions are constantly preoccupied with how best to create profits. So, this is not something that we are unfamiliar with, their desire to be profitable and their desire to create profits. But one of the challenges that happens in all this stuff is that they're creating profits in a system that they have already gained. And consequently, the profits that they create in a system, once you've violated the very fabric of the well being of your customers, if you do, then they don't think twice about screwing them, whatever. They don't think twice about violating the very assets that they're pretending that they hold. This isn't a pretty thing, right? This isn't a pretty thing where they're going into the vaults and gathering up the gold that they've told is yours and segregated for you, and then sending it off as collateral for margin calls, if that is the case. Now, the other, there's a couple of things I want to chat about, Bosco, because this has been brought up in conversation before, but I want to reiterate. And there's two things. One is the military action on the planet, which is getting, is heating up and is not a pretty picture. And this, and the second, which we'll talk about first, is when people mention to you, ladies and gentlemen, well, you can't eat gold. Funnily enough, you can't eat the paper. And what did transpire, back to our conversation about the Weimar Republic, Bosco, when you sold a cow in during this massive devaluation of the currency in the Weimar Republic, you had to make sure that you bought something with the paper proceeds from the sale of the cow before the next day, because the next day you couldn't buy a loaf of bread with it. Now, what happened? This was a relatively short period of time, 6, 8, 9 months. But what would happen is that in order for people to feed themselves, they would go to the farms and go to the farmers and say, we are hungry. We need. Do you have a chicken? Do you have some grain? Do you have some vegetables or fruit? And what the farmers would do is they would say yes. And what these people would pay with would be silver and gold. So consequently, the barns of some of these farmers in Germany, this has happened all over the world, I'm just using Germany as an example, and which gives them the hangover memory of how bad this was. But what the farmers would do, would they would have a barn full of silverware or a barn full of gold trinkets, because this is, you know, we've seen the nasty things about how the German soldiers would be picking gold fillings out of people's teeth, because everybody knows that gold is money. Even J.P. Morgan has made that declaration. Gold is the only money. Everything else is just debt. So, no, you can't eat your gold, and no, you can't eat paper. But I'll tell you, when this calamity unfolds in the full light of day, it already is unfolding, and we're seeing devaluations of currency. The euro has dropped 10, 20, 30%. The price of gold is now starting to go up. But when this sees the full light of day, you will be able to trade your gold for all kinds of things, because all kinds of things will be, the people who hold whatever you need to buy will happily accept gold, because it has been the standard for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Yeah, so now let's chat.
The military.
And so now I want to, exactly. So now I want to play the hand of what we're seeing militarily on the planet. We're seeing a U.S. presidential election, but you're seeing a standing president in the middle of a Israel and Washington conversation talking about Iran. And all of a sudden, we're getting a bunch of frayed emotions. Well, ladies and gentlemen, guess what? Emotions and doing anything with an emotional charge, whether it's a good charge or a bad charge, is seldom sufficient reason to do this. And this is what is happening. Everybody's getting very, very emotional. You've got riots going on in Pakistan. You've got a movie going out there that has ruffled feathers, and albeit justifiably, but it's creating havoc. It's creating turmoil that oftentimes erupts in violence, and here's what's happening. So we've got Pakistan happening. We've got the Muslims very offended by a movie, and they may very well be justified in being upset. You've got the Chinese and the Japanese fighting over an island that is potentially the size of a large aircraft carrier, for want of a better phrase. And you've got Chinese bashing and beating and burning Japanese cars in China. You've got a lot of frayed emotions right now, Bosco, and you've got a currency system that is potentially going up the stump. These, without being alarmist, these are an unbelievably robust recipe for a war, something of a nasty size. We now have China and Russia playing the Syria card. We've got the Syrian civil war going on. We've got the Saudis, there's some rumblings going on in there. We are seeing some signposts of, and then the Americans go, well, you know, China, we may owe you $1 or 2 trillion, but you're not playing ball with us, so to hell with you. We aren't going to pay it back. And here, have this bullet or have this nasty piece of work at you. And the Chinese may very well say, little unbeknownst to you, we have a military that we will happily throw at you. The recipe here is not for the faint of heart, and it's not something that we should be taken lightly. When this stuff happens, the price of gold and silver goes through the roof. When the currencies collapse, right? I mean, and this is not to be meant to be alarmist, but it's meant to be able to see things as they are, not as we want to see them. What do you think,
Moscow? Yeah, no, this, you know, like we always say, Jeff, this program, the main purpose of this program is to wake people up. I mean, people got to wake up to what's happening around the world and how it affects their standard of living and their investments as well. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's not really about gold or silver or your investments. What's happening now is we're facing, you know, like you mentioned, a potential major war. And, you know, that's not a pretty picture. Nobody wants to go into war. At least I hope not. And, you know, this is a system that is so fragile right now that it could collapse. And the purpose of going to gold and silver, as far as I can see, is basically just for safety. You're not really going to, and I tell a lot of my clients this, you're not really going to become rich owning gold if gold goes to $7,000, because everything else around you is going to be collapsing. The price of food is going to be enormous. The price of gas is going to be enormous. You know, you're just basically going to safety, and you want to maintain your standard of living. You might seem a little bit wealthier compared to people who don't have any gold or silver assets, because their standard of living has completely collapsed while yours is being maintained. So this is the big difference. And, you know, like you said, gold is money. It becomes the ultimate medium of exchange. And no, you don't want to eat it. And it's money. You don't eat your money. Your paper money, too. I've heard that comment a number of times, and it just, you know, it just comes from people who have no idea what they're talking about. They have no idea about, you know, what's happening around the world. And hopefully they can listen to this program and maybe wake up. But one of the other things that came out this week was there was an article about a fake gold bar that was found in New York. And I just wanted to address that because I've had a number of phone calls regarding that. And one thing, I kind of find it very strange that a jeweler, especially those jewelers in New York, which have been in the business for years, that a fake gold bar could pass through their hands. For one, I'm not sure if I completely 100% believe that story is authentic. Okay, on another hand, the way that we operate, see, how fake gold bars get into the system is, you know, you have somebody walk into your store, they give you a gold bar, the jeweler examines it quickly, they have their certain way of testing it, and he gives you cash, and you're off to do your business, okay? Here, the way we run our business, nobody can walk into my office without an appointment, okay? Majority of the time, I deal with clients who already have an account, okay? And I deal with strictly certified refiners and dealers that have a reputable business and have been in the business for many, many years, okay? A lot of the refiners that we deal with here are ISO certified, meaning that their manufacturing process is certified by International Standards Organization. And many of them are also on the member list of the LBMA and on the COMEX. So another thing is, you know, we have means of eliminating any possible chance of any fake gold bars getting into our network, if you will, because we don't give out money to people that are selling right away. If you come into my office, even if you book an appointment, you want to sell a gold bar, I'm not going to give you cash right away and send you on your way. You're going to have to wait 24 hours until I have that gold bar inspected. It's going to be x-rayed by an x-ray machine that we have. And, you know, once it passes all the tests, then you'll get your money. So anyone who wants to get a quick cash for their fake gold, I suggest you go somewhere else because you're not going to get through here. So I just
That's just prudent. Yeah, that's just prudent business. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, you know, Bosco runs a business that is in the business of gold, buying and selling gold and silver, and consequently it would be like going to a dentist who isn't a dentist. I mean, this is the professionalism that that Bosco operates under.
Yeah. So I just wanted to address that quickly because I had a number of phone calls regarding that article, and I just wanted to, you know, assure people we do we have a number of measures, security measures in place to alleviate that situation. So one other topic I wanted to just quickly run by, Jeff, which I believe you're familiar with, is yesterday I was listening to the radio and they're mentioning the big oil discussion in Calgary. What's happening with that oil company that the Chinese are looking at? Are you?
This is the takeover of Nexen by CNOOC.
Yes.
And it went to a shareholders vote. Now, let's back up a bit because I will address it, but I want to talk about the mindset of when you own a whole bunch of debt, when you own the Canadian or the U.S. debt, as the Chinese do, and when you realize that the U.S. dollar is collapsing, what do you do? Just as historically, the Romans sent out their legionaries and said, go buy people, go buy assets, go buy animals, go buy farms, go buy buildings with this useless, worthless money. And yeah. Legion said, why? He said, because this money isn't going to be worth anything soon, but real assets are going to be worth something. So what the Chinese are doing is they're saying, the U.S., we own a whole bunch of U.S. paper, and they're going to pay it back to us with monopoly money. So that's silly. Why don't we just go spend it in Canada and the U.S.? Now, the Canadians are more reluctant or less reluctant to allow the Chinese to buy assets in Canada than the Americans. The Americans, the Chinese tried to buy Unical a few years ago.
Yep.
And the Americans said no. Now the Canadian shareholders said yes. We will happily sell you Nexen, which is a very large oil and gas producer in Canada. Mm-hmm. Although, you know, color me curious, Bosco, the Chinese don't let anybody buy companies in China. It seems a bit peculiar that would be a one-way street. However, we are all based on the what's in it for me right now and in the short term. Consequently, the shareholders voted yesterday to accept the CNOOC offer for Nexen, which was, if I correctly believe, a 30 or 40% premium to the stock trading price at that time. And so consequently, the shareholders have said, yes, we will accept it. Now it has to be vetted by the Canadian government.
Oh.
The Chinese government have a dialogue, and that dialogue is, well, we like to buy your products, and, well, we probably have you owning a bunch of our paper, and, well, we're trade partners. It's interesting. Now, it isn't so much what's best for the country. It is best. It's what is best in terms of the relationship that has developed between Canada and China being this economy that everybody looks to that is absolutely brilliant and will be the savior of the world. I think, one, is a bit delusory. But two, we now have a hammer that China holds, and that is I own a whole bunch of your debt, so you're going to act a certain way. It will play out, interestingly, I think, that the Chinese are trying to buy up assets and commodities as fast as they can in North America, as are the Koreans, as are the Malaysians. They've come over here and are buying up North American companies. This is this is understandable, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't blame them personally. If you're holding an asset or cash that's completely being devalued, you want to get rid of it. You know, and this is, it goes along with our hyperinflation theme. You know, the Chinese, they realize that hyperinflation is coming, that their paper dollar reserves in the U.S. or Canada are losing value, so they want to pick up real assets. And some of the best assets to own is Canadian oil and gas companies. And but didn't, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't our prime minister meet with the Chinese, one of the Chinese leaders earlier this year, like just in the summer?
Absolutely.
Time?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. No, the conversation has been going on quite rigorously between Canada and China. I mean, one of the other things is that there is a cash cow of last resort, which is the Chinese, because they are holding a whole bunch of cash, whereas the American system, they're printing their cash.
Yeah.
So, I mean, rumor has it, perhaps, that the Chinese might very well have a backstopped yuan with gold. Now, that happens, the dollar disappears, and the U.S. currency global reserve status gets compromised. This, again, is indicative of a system that is in calamity. It is in a way that is not particularly conducive to coming out the other end whole. I suspect that a lot of people may get big haircuts, which is the result of such nonsense, right?
Yeah, no, we discussed this on this program before. I think it was back when Bob Chapman was with the program regarding a Chinese yuan currency that he thinks that, you know, he mentioned that nobody's going to respect the dollar anymore, and people are going to want a currency that's backed by a physical asset. And right now we're seeing China and Russia are collaborating to create a gold-backed currency of some sort. And I think that, you know, one of the solutions for this is a reenactment of the Glass-Steagall Act, which we discussed before as well. And, you know, we had mentioned that in the late 90s, I think it was in the Clinton administration that they repealed the Glass-Steagall Act and allowed investment banks and commercial banks to commingle funds. And right now you're seeing the result of that. You can't have, you have to have that separation between the two types of banks. But if you want to invest and speculate with your money, okay, you put your money with an investment bank. You want to deal with a commercial bank and take out loans and mortgages, then that commercial bank is only allowed to, you know, lend out your money for mortgages and so on. But once you start creating derivatives and paper instruments that work both ways, and you can short them and go long, and you know that there, a lot of them are over the counter, meaning that they're not regulated. So, and you know, this is the problems we're seeing in these futures commission merchants like the MF Global and PFG and so on, that they're going under because they were able to move funds around in segregated accounts, and who knows what they did with the money. But you know, it's no longer is there any, nothing is sacred anymore in the financial industry. You know, there's no
well, and in all fairness, Bosco, I don't know how honest it's ever been, but you're absolutely right. I mean, I think they're starting to pay less and less. They're starting to pay less and less attention to the rules of the game.
Yeah.
And when the new contracts for interest rate derivatives, when the new contracts come out and all of a sudden the banks are required to put up gold for their margin calls, things are getting pretty trepidatious. And this stuff is being perpetrated on us in plain view, right? I mean, it's an interesting scenario because everybody just turns, they don't necessarily turn a blind eye, but they just say, I don't understand it. And that's one of the reasons why Bosco and I are here every week, sort of pointing out to you that this is your system that they are compromising for their own gain, not yours, for their own gain at your cost. That doesn't sound very good to me, but this system that is fraught with rampant selfishness and rampant greed, it cannot last. It will run a cycle. The cycle will end, the system will collapse, and let's hope that the next system that we build and are party to building will be done with a little more prudent grasp of things. And in all fairness, Bosco, I do want to point out before we leave, I don't think we can fix the system and run a system with this broken system in place. I do genuinely think that the system in place needs to collapse and be replaced with something completely different, as opposed to pretending that this broken system can be fixed. I do tend to, unfortunately, think that is the case.
Right. Well, Jeff, hopefully we can, you know, wake up a few more people every week, and, you know, people just read your history, and, you know, you got to realize what's going on is going to affect your standard of living, and it's, you know, you have to take actions accordingly. So With that, Jeff, I'd like to thank you for joining us this week, and have a good weekend, and good weekend to all our listeners.
Thank you, Bosco. Thanks for allowing us to be of service, ladies and gentlemen.
Goodbye.